Morning. Today's daf is daf Sadi in Zvachim. We're in the bottom of and we begin Amar Avina. We are starting about 10 lines from the bottom of the page and starting with the words Amar Avina. This is a perek of Kedima, of taking precedence. Which takes precedence over what? The Mishnah that we started yesterday, the sugya that we started yesterday, called Hataja Mechavero, Kormes Chavero, that set us off on the basic rule of Taja Vashino, Taja Kodem, that we go with precedence first. The next sugya that we did yesterday was called Amakrus Mechavero, that which is more holy than its friend goes first as well. So we have two basic rules that establish precedence. One is Tadir, one is frequency, and the other one is Kedusha, and the other is sanctity. Tomorrow, I was going to say, I said today, but of course by today I really mean tomorrow. It's the bottom of today's daf. We're not going to get to it today. Tomorrow we're going to discuss what happens when they collide with one another, when frequency and sanctity collide with one another, and the Gemara tomorrow we'll have that discussion about which is going to win. In the meantime, however, we're going to be still going with our sugya, and that is the issue of Kedusha. In the Mishnah, we learned yesterday that you look at what has more Kedusha. The Chatas has more Kedusha than the Ola. And the Mishnah went through each one of them and explained why certain Karbanos have more Kedusha than the other. For example, Chatas Ola, Chatas has more Kedusha because with the Dam, the Chatas, he hit all four corners of the Mizbeach. By the Ola, he only hit two of the four. So Chatas has more Kedusha than the Ola, v'chule, v'chule, etc., etc. Okay. The beginning of today's daf, we're going to take a little bit of a digression. We're going to move a little bit away of Kedima. We're going to spend a couple minutes, the first few minutes of this morning, talking about a halacha of Ravina. Amar Ravina bar Shilai, Muri Kachim Kalim, the Imorim of Kachim Kalim, Sheyatz Lufnei Zrikas Damim, that go out of the Azara before Zrikas Adam, so it's possible, so it's going to be disqualified. So let me give a little bit of background over here. Let's get established in terms of what the Chiddush of Ravina is. It is a significant Chiddush, and then we'll come back and we'll figure it out. We often use terms kachi kachim versus kachi kalim, right? That's a line of demarcation that we make in Karbanos all the time. Very often we speak about how an ola is kachi kachim and a chatas is kachi kachim, right? It's of a higher order of kedusha. Shlamim, on the other hand, is kachim kalim. It's a lighter form of kedusha. It does not have that same degree of sanctity, the same amount of sanctity. Okay, I mentioned earlier in the Masechta, I pointed to a Rashi earlier on the Masechta. Often I forget which daf the Rashi is found on. That's not really the way to look at it. In other words, that's the Karbanos are not. It's true. Everything I said is true, but that's not really the way to look at it. The way to look at it is that anything that's earmarked and designated for the Mizbeach, that's kachi kachim. Anything that's not earmarked and dedicated to the Mizbeach is not kachi kachim. So shlamim is not kachi kachim, because the shlamim karban is not going to go to the Mizbeach. There are pieces of the karban, the imurim of the karban, the innards of the karban, they're going to go on the Mizbeach, but the karban itself is not going to go on the Mizbeach. Therefore, it's not really kachi kachim, it's really kachim kalim. And ola, on the other hand, that's kachi kachim, because the entire karban is dedicated and designated to go to the Mizbeach, to the top of the Mizbeach. So really, it's a function of not categories of karban, but really the critical issue is it going to go to the Mizbech or is it not going to go to the Mizbech? Okay. Now once you're in the world of kachi kachim, so what does that mean? So it means number one like this. Number one, you're subject to the rule of Me'ila. Okay? Me'ila, we're going to spend an entire Masechta talking about the Isra of Me'ila. Mol behektesh means that I take something that belongs to Hektesh and I misappropriate and I misuse it. Okay. In the world of karbanos, Me'ila is only by kachi kachim, not by kachi kalim. Okay? That's a basic rule when it comes to the world of Me'ila, that you're mol behektesh only by kachi kachim, not by kachim kalim. So by a karban ola, correct. The whole karban now is subject to the Isra of Me'ila, even before you offer it on the Mizbech, because since it's dedicated, it's earmarked to go to the Mizbech, so therefore it's subject to Me'ila. If a person were to consume a kezayis of ola, he'd be violating the Isra of Me'ila. Shlamim, for the most part, there is no Me'ila. It's not going to go on the Mizbeach. It's not earmarked and dedicated to the Mizbeach. So it's not subject to Me'ila. What about the Imurim of your Shlamim? Oh. So the Imurim of the Shlamim, the insides of the Shlamim, the fats, the intestines, they are going to go up onto the Mizbeach. Oh, so they are subject to Me'ila. When? At what point exactly are they going to go up onto the Mizbech? Only after Zrikas Adam. Before the Zrikas Adam, the Imorim don't go up onto the Mizbech. Okay, fine. Another thing another nafkamina, another difference, whether it's kachikashim or kachikalim, is the psul of yotze. Right? Certain things need to be contained in the azara, in the temple courtyard. Once taken out of the azara, they're disqualified. What's the line of demarcation? Again, same thing. Kachikashim versus kachim kalim. If it's kachikashim, you can't leave the azara. Right, so the blood can't leave the azara. Blood is dedicated and earmarked to go to the mizbeach. So the blood can't leave the azara. The ola, after you shech the ola, any part of the ola that leaves the azara, that's it. It's disqualified. The psul of yotze. It's got to go up. What about imurim of shlamim? Oh, so now same thing. The imurim of shlamim, before the zrikas adam, before the sprinkling of the blood. So, what is it? Is it kachik kachim or is it kachim kalim? So, if you want to tell me it's kachik kachim because it's dedicated, it's going to go to the mizbeach, so it should be disqualified for the psul of yotze. Okay. So, in other words, basically what comes down over here is, how am I looking at the imurim of shlamim? We know it's going to go to the mizbeach, it's dedicated to the mizbeach, but you can't put it onto the mizbeach until you do zrikas adam. So really what the issue over here is, what status are we giving the Imurim before Zrikas Adam? Are we giving it a status of Kachik Kachim? Because it is earmarked, it's dedicated to go to the Mizbeach, or not yet? Because we haven't done the Zrikas Adam. So that's exactly what Ravina's saying. Now we are hopefully going to gain a better appreciation of the Chiddush of Ravina. Ravina says that the Imurim of Kachik Kalim, right, this is the fast on the insides of a shlamim. Before Zrikas Hadam, that leaves the temple courtyard is disqualified. Meaning it is kachik kachim even before Zrikas Hadam. So that it's subject now to the psul of yotze, of leaving the temple courtyard. Vitana tuna, and now that Ravina stated his chiddush. So,
is this a different Ravina than the usual Ravina?
I don't know. It says Ravina Bar Shila, could or could not be. I don't know. Tanatuna, the Gemara says, now that he said it, you know what? Ravina says, and I'm not going to just say it, but I'm going to support it based on a Braisa. Now, the obvious question is, why are we learning this now? This has nothing to do with Kedima, has nothing to do with precedence. And that's correct, it doesn't. So why are we learning it now? Because Ravina is going to quote a line of our Mishnah that supports his position. Our Mishnah is not talking at all about classification, categorization of Kachik Kachim versus Kachim Kalim. That's not our Mishnah. But our Mishnah does make a passing mark. Right? And in the passing remark of the Mishnah, what does it say? It says that if I have an animal versus bird, animal comes first. Why? Because our Mishnah says, because in the animal there is kachik kachim, damav v'imurav. Because in every karban of a shlamim, there is, right, oh, by the way, the Mishnah was, sorry. I'm sorry, this is not a line from our Mishnah, this is a Braisa. Okay. The Braisa says that when you have an animal comes first. Why? Because there are kachim contained in the animal. Meaning, dama the imura of the blood and the imurim, right? In every karban, and this is the part that we needed to really reorder our thinking. In every karban, even in a shlamim, you have kachik kachim, right? What does that mean? The parts of the karban that are supposed to go to the mizbeach, the blood and the imurim, they go to the mizbeach. Now imurim kidama. Now in saying this, we are essentially saying, you know what? Blood is called kachik kachim. And so is the Imurim. They're both called kachet kachim. So bishlam imorim lesnu ba'ofos. Now the Gemara says, look, by imorim I get it. That part doesn't exist in birds. El adam yeisa. Now, but birds have dam, mm-hmm. Right?
Little birds.
So what? When the Braisa says, oh, you can't compare an animal to a bird because animals have blood in imorim. Mm-hmm. No, but wait a second. Birds also have blood. So what's going on over there? So ela lav kamashmalan. So there's no chiddush in telling me that animals have blood because birds do also. So ki damo. What the Braisa is trying to teach us is that the blood in imurim are comparable. Ma damo lifnei zrika af imurim kodem zrika. Now look, when we're talking about the blood, we're obviously talking about the blood before zrika, obviously. Because after zrika, you don't have the blood anymore. So the whole idea is that blood before zrika is called what? Kachi kachim. The kakarilu kachi kachim. Ma damo mifsa b'yotze, af imurim mifsa b'yotze. And just like blood, if I were to take the blood out of the azara, the blood becomes disqualified. Right? That's a fact on the ground. The psul of Yotze. Because blood is dedicated to the Mizbeach. Blood is kachet kachim. You know what? Same thing is true with Imurim. Imurim before the Zrikas Adam also has a category of kachet kachim, subject to the psul of Yotze. Good. So now this Braisa, it doesn't say all this, but the fact that the Braisa is comparing the blood to the Imurim sounds like correct. That Ravina is correct. The Imurim before Zrikas Adam still categorically is in the category of Kachet Kachim. Name a Messiah LA now. We're going to try to lend support to Ravina based on the following. We have a machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. What if I take the meat, okay, right, we're now shifting over here. What if I take the meat of Kachet Kalim, of a Shlamim Karban, and take it out of the temple courtyard before Zrikas Adam, before the sprinkling of the blood.
No,
I shouldn't have, obviously. In other words, you're only allowed to take it out after the Zrikas Adam, but what if I take it out beforehand? So Rav Yochanan Amar Kasher, Rav Yochanan says, it's not the end of the world, it's Kasher, it's still fine, it did not become disqualified. Reish Lakish Amar Pasul, and Reish Lakish on the other hand says, no, it's disqualified. And the Gemara explains each position. Rav Yochanan Amar Kasher, hold itself a lot, states, Rav Yochanan says, look, you know you're going to take it out anyway. Right, this is the meat of Shlamim. The meat of Shlamim can be enjoyed anywhere in the city of Yerushalayim. You're going to take it out anyway. So you took it out prematurely. Okay, so fine. But that's where it's going anyway. So Rav Yochanan says it doesn't disqualify. Reish Lakish, I'm an apostle. Adain lo higiyaz man olat seis. And Reish Lakish says, no. The fact that you took it out prematurely means you disqualified through the psul of Yotze. Okay, that's so to machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Nothing to do about that. But the Gemara says, look what they're arguing about, the meat. Look what they're not arguing about, the imurim. Oh, so the Gemara says, I'd come up with Yelab Basar, Aval be imurim lo. They're not arguing about imurim. Sounds like by imurim, they totally agree that if the imurim were taken out of the Azara before the Zrikas Adam, it's going to be disqualified. Sounds like, again, you know, they're not saying this, but the fact that they're not saying it, it sounds like they agree with Ravina. The Gemara deflects low. Who adin de be imurim nami pligi? V'hadik ha-miflegi be-basal odicha kochad reish lakish da'afil ha-basal. So for a lot of states, amar adan lo higiyaz man a lot of states. So the Gemara says, could be that they're also arguing about by imurim as well. And so why are they arguing about meat? To really expose Reish Lakish and how radical his position is. Right? His position is so radical. Look, the meat's going to leave anyway. And Reish Lakish says, still I find that the meat taken out prematurely is possible. So the reason why they are arguing about meat is really to expose how stringent Reish Lakish is. I'm generally speaking, by the way, just as a side comment, generally speaking, when we want to expose a position or accentuate a position, we usually like to accentuate the position of kula, not the position of chumra, right? Koach de heter adif, right? The position of heter, of being makel, is a stronger position, right? Rashi says it's always easy to be machmer, right? It's more difficult to be makel, to be lenient. So over here, the Gemara, right? It somewhat rubs against It's a little difficult for our Gemara over here, because our Gemara over here says we want to accentuate the position of Reish Lakish because he's really Machmir. Right?
So he never did the Zrika by accident for some reason, then.
Correct. Reish Lakish, perhaps that's part of what's behind Reish Lakish's position. that if you took it out early, you don't know what's going to happen, right? Could be. Lema kitanai. So the Gemara suggests now that this, again, we're going to go now back to Ravina. Ravina says that the Imorim that's taken out before Zrikas Adam is going to be disqualified, right? That the it has a category of kachay kachim even before Zrikas Adam. The Gemara says perhaps this is really subject to a machlokas tanaim. We read a braisa. Imur kachim kalim shigaslof ne Zrikas Damim. Okay, exactly what we're talking about. The Imorim of Shlamim that's taken out before the sprinkling of the blood, Rav Elazar Amar, Ein Mo'alim Bem, Vein Chayav Alam Mishem Pikol Nos V'tami. So Rav Elazar says, there's no Me'ila. What is Rav Elazar saying when he says there's no Me'ila? He's saying, it's nothing. It's even after the Zrikas Adam. Why? Because you disqualified it. You apostled it. And Rabbi Akiva Omer Mo'alim Bem, V'chayav Alam Mishem Pikol Nos V'tami. Okay, and Rabbi Akiva says that you're going to be chai for all that. Now, assumption. My love bidahadar ailinu pligi. Now, we are assuming it's really not clear. The Imorim were taken out. That we know for a fact. That's only happened. Were the Imorim brought back in? Right? Did the in other words, after somebody took the Imorim out, they said, "Wait a second. What are you doing? That's not allowed to leave. Bring it back." And still, Rav Elazar and Rabbi Kiva are having the debate, and Rav Elazar says it's too late; you disqualified. And Rabbi Kiva says, "No, it's not too late." So the Gemara says, "If a haplik, the marsaver mifsel biyotze, marsaver lo mifsel biyotze." Presumably, again, that's an assumption. We're talking about a case where it was taken out and it was brought back in, and there's still a machlokus between Rav Elazar and Rabbi Kiva. And Rav Elazar says, "You took it out; you disqualified it." And Rabbi Kiva says, "No. You took it out, but you brought it back in. It's fixable, right? Amendable. Not the end of the carbon. And if this is the correct shot in the Braisa, it turns out now that Ravina, who's an Amora, is really subject to a machlokas amongst the Tanaim. And obviously, that's not where Ravina wants to be. Ravina does not want to be in a place where A is a machlokas Tanaim, and B, right? If you're following, he's now on the side of Rav Elazar, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva, who we generally, you don't want to be on the Rabbi Eliezer side of life, you want to be more on the Rabbi Akiva side of life, in terms of the halacha. So Amar Rapapa b'dahadra ailina kulam lo pligi. So Rapapa says, no. If you took it out and you brought it back in again, there's no machlokes. Hacha b'di'isnu avrai pligi. So the machlokes over here is, what if the Amorim are outside and left outside? Uvaha pligi. Demar savrein zrikam olos liyotze. And the issue over here is, when you do Zrika, will it have any effect whatsoever on that which is outside the Azara? Marzav Zrika, Ma'olos Liyotzei. And the Gemara says, that's the Machlokes, that's the Nekuna Machlokes. So according to Rabbi... This is the Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Akiva Machlokes, of what happens to the Imorim when they're taken out. So Rabbi Lazar says, no Me'ila, no Pigol, no Nosar, no Tame, none of the normal Isurim applied to the part that was taken out, right? And now, in our new understanding of the Machlokas, the Gemara says it was left out. And what Rav Elazar's position is it didn't help. The Zrikas Adam didn't help for the parts that were outside. Didn't change its status whatsoever. It's done. It's fallen. As opposed to over here, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva says no. The Imorim do become disqualified, but the Zrika helped. It gave the parts of the Imorim status of Kachay Kachim, now subject to all the fun stuff. Me'ila, Pigol, Nosar, Tameh. Okay. V'ha'ra Papa Hudamra B'deisnu Avrai Kulam Alo Pligi B'deilin L'gavai Pligi. So the Gemara says, wait a second, what about Rav Papa from the Gemara Menachos? Right? The Gemara Menachos Rashi brings down. Right, Tosas also brings it down as well. Daf Mem Zayin. The Gemara Menachos brings down a statement to Rav Papa, and Rav Papa says that when it comes to the Shtei Halechem, the two loaves of bread on Shavuos that comes along with the Kivsei Atzeres, with the two sheep, so the Gemara says, what if the Shtei Halechem was outside? So Kuli Amlo Pligi, B'Dailin L'Gavai Pligi. So if the Shtei Halechem were outside, there's no machlokas. If it was brought back inside, there's a machlokas. So the and that's the same Rav Papa who over here says just the opposite. So the Gemara says, "Whoa, wait a second. Honey, milagabishte alechem de lo gufa dezvicha. No, that's different. That's the two loaves of bread. Two loaves of bread are not part of the animal. The two loaves of bread are connected with the animal, but not part of the animal. Avalimorim de gufa dezvicha he bedisnu avrei pligi. So, but when you have the imurim, which is part of the carbon, the imurim may well be affected by the zrikas adam, even though the imurim are outside of the azara. Okay, fine, period. Okay, so that was a little bit of a tangent, certainly a little bit difficult, a little bit of a tangent. How do I view the imurim before zrikas adam? So again, the chiddush of Ravina is we view the imurim as kachim kachim, even before the zrikas adam, and so therefore, if taken out of the azara, it receives the psul of yotzei. That's the position of Ravina. The Gemara supported it with a brisa. The Gemara tried to support it with a machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, failed in doing so. The Gemara attempted to suggest that this is really the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, machlokas tanayim, and the Gemara deflected that as well. No, they're talking about not where it was left outside, they're talking about when it was brought back inside. Okay, we continue. Ofos kod mimad rabba menachos kod meshiken yeshna metzibur kibiyachin. So again, just quick explanations of some of the things that we saw in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, you have online to be brought up onto the Mizbeach a bird and a mincha offering. Birds come first. Why? Because birds have blood. So it has more kedusha. You get to sprinkle the blood onto the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, but a mincha should have more kedusha because it's brought b'tzibur. We have communal mincha offerings. There is never a communal bird offering. No such animal. No such bird. No such thing as a bird communal offering. So mincha categorically should have more kedusha because we do find menachos brought on a communal level. Like, for example, the Shtei Alechem that we just discussed. Like, for example, the Karban HaOmer, second day of Pesach. So the Gemara says, Afilu hachim inei dam emadifa. The Gemara says, you're right, but blood's better. The dam that goes on to the Mizbeach by the oaf speaks to more Kedusha to the bird than even though that mincha categorically comes as a communal offering. Minchas chote adra b'minchas nedava kod meshekein tu neshem v'lavona. I have a minchas chote. Again, let's remind each other. Minchas chote, sometimes the Torah says that if you sin and you don't have money, so you don't have to buy an animal which is expensive, you can bring a mincha. This is what's called the minchas chote. Could also be talking about the mincha of a sota. We'll get to that in just a moment. Right? The minchas chote, perikei, of Parshas Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra, v'im lo sasig yado l'shtei story moshnei b'nei yona, v'eviz karbonah asher chata'as, yiris ha'efas, lo sechata'as. So you bring in a tenth of an efa for your chata'as. Lo yasim ala ha'shemen, v'lo yiten ala ha'lavona, it doesn't get oil, it doesn't get the lavona, the frankincense, ki chata'asi, because it is a chata'as. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. I have in line to bring to the Mizbeach one minchas chote versus a minchas nedava. So our Mishnah taught us the minchas chote comes first. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Minchas nedava, it's got oil, it's got lavona. Sounds like it has more kedusha. And the Gemara answers very simply, it doesn't. It doesn't have more kedusha. Minchas chote, minchas chote adraba, minchas nedava kod mishakein tu neshem lavona, afilahachi, minchas chote haba al chait adifa. Demicha peres. No, it provides kapara. And since it provides kapara, so therefore the minchas chote has more kedusha. E bayelahu. Okay, how about this? Minchas sota, minchas nedava. Ezemem kodmim. Okay, the mincha offering of the sota. Okay, you have a sota woman comes to the base of Mikdash, and she has to bring her carbon sota, and on the same line you have a mincha nedava, regular mincha.
One.
So which should come first? Now, remember, we just established that the minchas chote comes before the minchas nedava. We just established that. Why should the sota mincha be any different? Because it's not really a kapara. It's not really an atonement. The whole reason why the sota is bringing her mincha offering is to clarify. Did she have relations with the man? Did she not? We don't know. All we know is that the husband warned her not to seclude herself with that man. She then secluded herself with that man in front of witnesses. We do not know what happened. Now, in our legal system, right, the only way you can punish somebody is only if you have concrete evidence. Circumstantial evidence is not sufficient for grounds for punishment. In this particular scenario, the Torah gives us an avenue in terms of identifying whether or not she did or she didn't. It's called the mincha sota, where she brings the mincha, and then we'll find out. If she did have relations, her stomach's going to blow up, and she'll blow up. If she didn't have relations, so then she'll go home, and she'll be with her husband. So the whole purpose of this mincha is to clarify, not to provide atonement. So the Gemara now wants to know. So I have now, I'm going to pit our mincha sota versus the minchas nedava. Of the two, which come first? So on one hand, ezemem kodemes, mincha nedava kodemes shekein tuna shemen ulavona. So on one hand, the minchas nedava, it's got oil, it's got frankincense. Odema mincha sota kadma shekein bar levarer avon. On the other hand, mincha sota has got a purpose to it. Granted, it's not kapara, but it is birur. It is clarification, and so maybe therefore should take precedence. Now again, the Mishnah didn't discuss it, which gives the Gemara the opportunity to raise this as a question. Tashma, come in here. Minchas chote kodemas minchas nedava. So we look to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that the minchas chote comes before the minchas nedava. So minchas chote do come la minchas nedava minchas chote alone. Gemara makes a simple diuk. It says minchas chote, not minchas sota. It sounds like the Mishnah is excluding minchas sota. So the Gemara says, you don't have to make that inference. It's not necessary. If you read the Mishnah carefully, the Mishnah doesn't use the words mechaper. The Mishnah says ba'al chet. It comes as a result of a sin. The sota mincha also comes as a result of a sin. She should not have secluded herself with that man. She now is forbidden to her husband until further clarification.
Is it you have a card for that? Is she giving you a karun chatz for that?
No. It's not. That was going into the question of the Gemara. Mm-hmm. The Gemara says it's not. It's not a classic sin scenario. It's not a classic karban scenario. Correct. But still, it's ba'al chet. It does fit into the language of the Mishnah. Ketani v'hanami ba'al chet. Tashma. So again, this is a braisa. I already made that mistake once today. I'll try not to repeat it. This is not our Mishnah. This is a braisa. The braisa says, well, this one comes first because it comes from wheat, as opposed to this one which comes from barley. Okay, look. The braisa for sure is talking about two mincha offerings, waiting online to go to the mizbeach, and it's one made of wheat and one made of barley. Okay, now, we haven't learned menachos yet, but just know this. Almost every mincha offering comes from wheat. Very few of them come from barley. Okay? One of the kabbanas that comes... So barley is a quote-unquote inferior grain. Rashi and Chumash describes barley as being more animal food than it is human food. Now, of course, humans eat barley, right? It goes into my chol and every Shabbos. But in contrast to wheat, barley is always considered inferior. So the Braisa says that if I have the mincha wheat versus the mincha barley, I bring the mincha wheat. Now, my la mincha sedava mincha sota. Now, which menachos are we describing? It sounds like we're describing mincha sedava over mincha sota. Sounds that way. The Braisa doesn't say it, but you could read it that way. And if that would be true, by the way, the sota, let me just make sure I'm clear about this. The sota mincha comes from barley. Rashi brings down in Chumash, she behaved in a more animalistic way. So therefore, the carbon that she brings is a mincha of se'orim. So the Gemara says, so fine. So the Braisa, it sounds like the Braisa is describing mincha sedava over mincha sota. Lo, mincha schote la mincha sota. So the Gemara says, well, you could understand the Braisa to mean it's minchas chote over minchas sota. That's what the Braisa could be talking about. So typically, da mechaper, so halom mechaper. So Gemara says, if that's what the Braisa is talking about, there's another reason Why? Minchas Chotei should come before Minchas Sotah, because Minchas Chotei is Mechaper. So Ve'elamai Minchas Nadava, typically the Zutu Neshem Lavona, the Zuenu Tu Neshem Lavona. So the Gemara says, well, if Minchas Nadava was pitted against the Minchas Sotah, remember, Minchas Nadava has oil and frankincense, Minchas Sotah doesn't. Elachar Mitrei Taim Menakeh. So the Gemara says, look, there may be other reasons why one should come before the other. The Braisa doesn't have to give every single reason. The Braisa gives one or two, one of two of the reasons.
What about the angle that the Sota will be allowed back to her husband after she offers this thing?
That's true, but that's more result oriented, meaning
kapara for her.
Right, kapara is also result oriented as well.
Right,
yes, sir.
Is a mincha nadava volitional or obligatory?
By definition, it's volitional.
So isn't an obligatory offering holier than an initial?
Right, that's generally the case. But by a sota, she's obligated to bring the karban, but it doesn't provide atonement. Right, and that's why the Gemara, entertains this idea that, look, I know it's one's volitional, the other, and hers is obligatory, but it doesn't achieve any type of kapara. So it doesn't.
It's based on an accusation.
Correct. It's just an accusation, and it's not going to, right, it won't, all it'll do is just tell us, did she or didn't she? That's all it accomplishes.
In a way, it does provide atonement in the eyes of the husband.
But I understand that. But that's not atonement.
That's the whole point of this.
But that's not kapara. It just tells us what happened in that room.
Right.
That's all. That's all that the carbon does. Chatas of kodemus. Now, okay. Now I can say it. This is the Mishnah. Okay. The chatas of when we're talking about the bird. So the bird is comes before the mincha. And the bird, chatas of kodemus la'ola sa'of. Right, the chatas bird comes before the ola bird. Okay? Minahan imili, the Gemara wants to know, what's the source? How do I know this? The Tana Rabbanan. The krivas asher l'chatas rishona. Okay. So, let's go, again, back to Chumash. And there are two birds brought by the sinner. Again, certain types of sins in the Torah, limited. A number where if you don't have enough money, you don't have to bring an animal, you could bring birds, and if you don't have enough money for birds, so then you'll bring a flower offering. Parshas Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra, Perek Hay. Oh, Nefesh Asher, right? Yeah. Nefesh Asher, Siga Bechol Dever Tame. No, okay, I'm sorry. No, that's too far back. Okay. V'im Lo Sagi Ado De Seve, Evis Hashem Asher Chatash Tei Sarim Ushnei B'nei Yona La Hashem. So if you don't have enough money for your animal, so you bring two birds, one for chatas and one for an ola. Already, by the way, the Torah just told us chatas ola. Okay. The avios amalakon v'ikriv is a shel chatas rishona. But then the Torah couldn't be any clearer about order. Right here, the Torah just holds our hand and spells it out. V'ikriv is a shel chatas rishona. So you bring the chatas first. Umalakas rishon mimol arpov lo yavdil. And of course, you do malika, and it's a chata, so you don't separate. Okay, the zamidam chatas okir mizbech, when yisharba dam yimapsei al yisora mizbech chatasu, and then you do zrika, and then you do mitsui. Okay, all things we've been discussing. The es hasheni, and what do you do for the second bird? Now, as the Gemara is going to point out in just a moment, we knew already it was the second bird because there were two birds to begin with, and he already brought one. So, in other words, it doesn't take much to figure out that this is the second bird. Okay? Stay tuned. The Braisa will pick up on that. So, you bring it an ola, like a regular ola. And it provides atonement. Good. So, when the Torah tells this person to bring the two birds, by the way, the two birds substitute one animal. Right? I'm just making sure everyone's sensitive to this. That the Torah says, really, you need to bring a carbon chatas. Oh, you can't afford a carbon chatas, so you're allowed to bring birds. But you can't bring one bird. In other words, it's not one bird chatas. To substitute for the animal, it's two. It's one bird and one chatas, one ola bird. One chatas bird, one ola bird. And the Gemara is assuming, by the way, I'm sorry, the Torah is assuming that the cost of two birds is going to be significantly less than the cost of one animal. Okay, fine. That's, I'm sure that's, you know, obviously that's the case. Okay, so let's now go back to our Gemara. Why is the Torah telling us, here's what you do with the first bird? Well, obviously it's the first bird. The second bird is, the Torah tells us, the second bird. So what the Torah is trying to create for us now is binyanav. This is a classic example of precedent. The Torah is setting forth precedent. Anytime they come in conjunction with one another, chatas before olam. Bein chatas of la'olas ha'of. Bein chatas behema, la'olas behema. It's true all the time. Even if the chatas is bein chatas behema, la'olas behema, ve'afilu chatas ha'of la'olas behema. Even if, let's say the chatas is just a bird, and the ola is an animal, So you would have think, oh my gosh, bird versus animal, right? And you're thinking, well, of course, animal's got more. No, chatas comes before the ola, even if the ola is a behema. Hilka chatas of la olas of meveesa sheni chatas behema la olas behema midrabi rachmana chatas of la olas behema mizeh bana av. So we have over here the binyan of, the precedent laid forth, that whenever these two come in conjunction with one another, chatas comes before ola.
I was about
to go there. Yes. No, it's okay. So
what if the bird chatas with an animal that is not an ola,
I don't know if we have ever a case in the Torah where the two come in conjunction with one another. Where does a bird and animal come in conjunction with one another? That is the woman who just gave birth. So the Torah tells us, first of all, if it's a boy, give the boy a milah. And then the Torah says like this. When she finishes her days of tahara, so tavi keves ben shenasol ha'olah ven yona otor lechatas al pesach ha'amoed el ha'kohen. So what do you do? So she brings keves ben shenasol ha'olah, a sheep, as a carbon olah, and ben yona otor lechatas, and a bird is a carbon chatas. Al pesach olamoid el kohen. Okay, now you understand. Meaning, the point that the binyanav is creating is that even where you have a scenario, and here it is, where the ol is coming from a behema, and the chatas is coming from an oaf, and I generally know behema versus oaf, behema wins, behema's more kedusha, more go to the mizbeach. Still, in this case, when they come in conjunction with one another, chatas before ola.
But even though it's the first.
Now, as pointed out correctly and accurately, that is, if you didn't know about the binyanav, you would have thought ola goes first. The Torah writes it. The Torah writes ola goes first. Hold that thought, because that's coming up. That's next in the Gemara. That's the Gemara's very next point. Okay, very well done. Okay, Tashma. The Gemara says, what about the following? Now, the Gemara is going to quote over here to Braisa. Rav Elazar Amar Kol Makom Shenischalfa Chatas Kodemes V'kan Ola Kodemes. So, Rav Elazar over here makes observations. You know, we always find Chatas comes first. And here, when the woman gave birth, the Ola comes first. Kol Makom Sheba Alcheid Chatas Kodemes V'kan Ola Kodemes. Look, usually, you know, these pair of karbanos is al-chait. It comes for through as a result of a sin. Here, she just gave birth to a baby. She didn't sin, right?
Why is she bringing karban chatas?
Okay, so that's a general question, why she's bringing karban chatas. But over here, now you understand why the ola comes first. Because she didn't sin. V'kol makum sheshnayim bayim tachas chatas, chatas kodemes v'kan ola kodemes. Now normally, when you have a pair, it's a substitution, like I described earlier this morning. Substituting for a chatas. Meaning back in Parakeh, why am I bringing those two birds? Those two birds really substitute a chatas. Here, the ola is not substituting a chatas. The ola is coming because the Torah says she needs to bring a carbon ola. So there are really are three reasons, says Rabbi Eliezer in this Braisa, why when the woman has given birth, the ola comes before the chatas. So now, the Gemara is essentially asking a question. The format the Gemara here is providing it is not really in the classic question format. Meaning, I would have expected the Gemara to say something like Meisvei. Okay, and the Gemara says Tashma. But still, the point is that here in this Braisa, Rav Elazar says, I'm giving you three reasons why the Ola comes before the Chatzas by the woman who just gave birth. And meanwhile, we just said in the previous Braisa, Chatzas always comes before Ola, even in the case where the Chatzas is a bird and the Ola is an animal, and there's only one case in the Torah where that happens, and that's the woman who just gave birth, still Chatzas comes before Ola. So the Gemara gives really a fascinating answer. A difficult answer. I mean, difficult just to understand. So, v'chomakam sheshem reit ta'achas v'kan ola kodemes. Ama Rava lemikra hitima ha'kasav. So Rava says that in the Torah, the ola comes before the chatas. Rashi says, shetehe nikras be'inyan t'chila. The way Rashi understands the Gemara's answer, look, when you're in the Beis HaMikdash, in terms of procedure, Chatas comes before the Ola, period. Like the Binyan Av taught us, like we learned through the precedent. So what is Rabbi Lazar arguing? For three reasons Ola comes before Chatas? Yeah, when you read the Chumash. When you read the Chumash, make sure to read the Ola before the Chatas. So if you look at Tosos, the bottom Tosos on the page, Tosos says that's what Rav Elazar is teaching us, right? Peirush Bekushe Shetein Nikras Binyan Tchila V'Tema Machidushu Zeh. And Tosos says, I don't understand. Meaning, what were you expecting? That when the Baal Kori gets up to the Parsha of Tazria, so now he's formulating in his mind, right, very quick on his feet, Baal Kore. He's formulating in his mind, you know, there are a number of reasons why I should be reading the Chatas first, right? And, oh, but the Torah tells us, because the Chatas actually does come first. Oh, no. We're saying to the Baal Kore, make sure you read the Ola before the Chatas. Where do we ever? But basically, I'm just helping. You know, I'm helping us along through Tosfos. Where do we ever find that when you're reading the Chumash, you would have ever have thought to have changed the order? Well, I'm gonna read the Chatas first because you know the Chatas comes first. Right? It's strange. And okay. And he quotes Tosfos quotes the Perush of Rav Chaim, right? One of the Balei Tosfos who we quote from time to time in Tosfos. He says that we are discussing when you're maktish, when you sanctify the animals, you're maktish the bird as opposed to you maktish the bird first as opposed to the chatas first. And then when you bring it, you bring the chatas before the Ola. That's the pshat of Rav Chaim. Tosfos says that's a very difficult pshat. It happens to be a very difficult pshat because when you look back at our mishnah that we did yesterday, the last two words of the mishnah were v'chein behikdisha. Right, the Mishnah says that when you're Makdish Chatas before Ola. And according to Rav Chaim, not in this case. In this case, you're Makdish the Ola before the Chatas. And Tosfos says, according to Rav Chaim, you're going to have to say that those last two words are not going on every case of the Mishnah. Okay.
So this is the exception. Ola before Chatas
is not the exception. Even though Rav Elazar gave us three very strong reasons why the Ola should come first, but the Gemara says he didn't mean that in terms of procedure. Chatas comes before Ola. What he meant was in terms of Mikra. And again, according to Rashi, that means how you read the Chumash.
How do you read the
Chumash? like it's presented in front of us. Ola before the Chatas. Tashma. Parim kodem le'ilim ve'ilim kodem le'kvasim kvasim le'si'irim. Take the animals, precedence of animals. Your bull before your ram. Bulls are humongous beasts. Okay, so you get the big animal. Then the isle before the kevis. The ram before the sheep. Ram is larger. And the sheep before the goat. Now, by the way, I do mean what I'm saying, but it's not just a function of which animals are larger. It's also a function, Rashi explains, of the nesachim. More nesachim come with the par, right? Chatzi ahin, a half a hin, right? More nesachim of the ram, than of the sheep. Okay, so in other words, it is there are quantitative differences in terms of how much nesachim, how much wine, how much oil, how much flour come as accessories to the carbon, and that speaks to more kedusha. Now, so good, fine. Why is the Gemara bringing it over here? So the Gemara, top of the next Talmud, studying on base, my love the chag. Now, when are you having a case where I'm bringing in bulls, ram, sheep, goat? When is all that happening? So you know when all that happens? On Sukkos. But you'll go through the carbon musaf of Sukkos and you're going to find that you got all this going on. Now the Gemara is about to point out, wait a second, on Sukkos, what's the goat coming for? On Sukkos, the goat is coming as a carbon chatas. And meanwhile, now that we're saying that, now you realize where we're going with all this. On Sukkos, the seir, the chatas, comes after the par, after the aisle, after the kevis, but it's a chatas. Chatas comes first. So the Gemara says, lo nadavam. So the Gemara says,
who brings the goat?
Well, it's communal. Right? It's a carbon seaborn. So the Gemara says, lo nadavam. So the Gemara says, no, it's not. It's a nedava. We're not discussing Sukkos, we're discussing, it just happens to be that a person voluntarily wants to bring on the same day a bull, ram, sheep, goat. It's an exciting day for him. So Parm Kod Me, and now the Gemara explains, Parm Kod Me Elayim Shekein Nisrabu Menesachim. Look, Par's got more Nisachim. V'chein Elam L'Kvasim Kvasim L'Sirim Shekein Nisrabu Ba'aliyah. And as far as sheep versus goat, you know, the same amount of Nisachim, sheep's got the tail, right? How often do we talk about the tail of the sheep? Sheep's got the tail, and it's more exciting because it's more for the mizbeach.
The only thing about sheep is like time bound because it could be finished on it, like as good as 1 year old, like
interesting, on it. Interesting, right? But as an adav, that's interesting. All right, I don't know. Tashma parkon mashiach kon la parhelam davishal sibar. Parhelm davar shel sibar kom lapar avodas kochavim. Par avodas kochavim kodin l'siri avodas kochavim. Okay. Bryce over here talks about, this is a great, great, great line waiting for the Mizbeach. You have the bull of the Kohen Gadol who sinned, and at the same time you also happen to have the bull of the Tzibor who sinned. Now chances of that happening, obviously minuscule, but we're not interested in chances over here. We're discussing the abstract nature of which one of them has more kedusha? Which one of them comes first? Interestingly enough, Kohen Gadol comes before the partial seaborn, and the par of avodah zara comes before.
Why? Because he has to clear himself first.
Yeah.
Why is the Kohen Gadol before the
seaborn? Torah tells us. Right. The Rashi quotes the Gemara in Horios. The Gemara in Horios says so. Okay. Now, but what's of interest is that the bowl of Avodah Zarah comes before the Seir of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, but that doesn't make any sense. Alpha Gav Depar Avodah Kocham Emola Seir Avodah Kocham Chatas. What are you doing over there? Right, the bowl of Avodah Zarah, that's the Ola. The Seir of Avodah Zarah, that's the Chatas. So what's going on over there? The Ema Mereisha. So the Gemara says, but wait a second. Par halam davar shel sibar kodem la par avodas kochavim. So bechad mina mialo karminan dechatas kadma. So look, when we're dealing with the same species, meaning they're both parim, so then of course chatas comes before ola. Ki karmina betray mine. So the Gemara says, when it comes to two different types of animals, ashkachan ola dekadma lechatas. So, but still. In other words, by two minim, the ola is going to come before the chatas. Amri ben Ma'arav, Mishmei de Rava Bar Mari, chatas avodas kochavim chaser aleph. So the Gemara says yes. In this scenario, we found it. We found the one scenario where the ola comes before the chatas, and that's by avodah zara. So number one, the Gemara is going to give two explanations for that. Number one, because if you look carefully in Chumash, you will find that the Torah, when describing the seir of avodah zara, there's a missing aleph. Okay? There's chaser of a malay, right? The aleph is not sounded. Most of the time when the Torah writes the words chet or chatas, it's with an aleph. Sometimes it's without. Here it's without. Speaks to the fact that it doesn't take priority. And by the way, if it's missing the aleph, I'm saying this, the Gemara's not saying this, but if it's missing the aleph, and aleph means first letter in the Torah. So it's missing its usual kedima. L'chatas k'siv. Okay, the pasuk says l'chatas. Number two, second answer, Ravina Amar Kimishpak Sivbahu, Hashadas, I'm sorry, Kimishpak Sivbahu. When the Torah tells us to bring the part in the seer of Avodah Zarah, it says Kimishpat. This is the way you do it. Contrary to what's normally done, Chatas comes before Ola in Avodah Zarah. For the sin of Avodah Zarah, Ola comes before Chatas. Now, if that's true, meaning once we're here, we can go back and answer a previous question that we had in the Gemara. On Sukkos, we said, you're not bringing the Chatas after all the other Karbanos, because it's a Chatas. The Gemara says, no, maybe you do. Because the Torah over there by the Karbanos of Sukkos says, Kemishpatam. Okay, let's do one more little piece today. Let's get to the Mishnah. I know the hour is late. Ibailahu chatas ovelos behema meiser ezem em kodem. Okay, the Gemara gives us the following brain teaser. So it's a trap. It's a total trap. Okay, you have the chatas bird, the ola animal, and the meiser behema.
Wow.
So which of the three come first? So tiktim chatas ovika meiser dekadem la. So you're going to say, well, the bird's a chatas. Yeah, I know the bird's a chatas, but you got an animal up against the bird. Okay, animal wins. So liktim meiser ika olas behema dekad malay. Okay, fine. So bring the meiser behema. Meiser behema. But wait a second. You have the ola that comes before the meiser. Tiktim olas behema. Okay, fine. So bring the ola. So the Gemara says ika chatas haof dekad malay. But we already pointed out the chatas bird comes before the ola behema. So it's a trap. Right? you're trapped. So what do you do under that circumstance? So, hacha, over here in Babylon, right, targimu min zevach adif. So you go with the animal. B'mara ve'amri ayla bas ola behema b'chata sa'ov v'agba mi meiser. So the ola's behema is going to win out. The ola's behema, look, the ola's behema is going to the Ola's behema is going to trump. So even though I normally would want to bring my chatas before the Ola, but since the Ola's behema trumps the Meiser behema, so it's going to trump the chatas as well. Okay, so two different solutions to the brain teaser, to the trap of the three kabanas. Okay, good. We'll stop over here tomorrow. We'll pick it up with the new Mishnah tomorrow. Okay, without making promises, tomorrow we'll discuss what happens when Tadir and Kedusha go lock heads.